That's good. Let's take our Bible, shall we? And let's open up to Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. And we're going to start here in Hebrews chapter 4 to get us kick-started as we have a little bit of a look at a little phrase this morning that appears in a verse here and some things to do with that little phrase and how we can apply that to our lives today. So I'll just read some verses here from Hebrews chapter 4 and beginning at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 beginning at verse 14. It said, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's pray together before we look into God's word this morning. Our loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we're thankful that your word is open before us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and eyes to the things you would have this morning. Lord, I yield my lips to you that you might be glorified in the things that are said, that you would be able to, we'd be able to see you in your majesty and your goodness, in your greatness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I can remember as a boy, which was not so long ago, I can remember travelling in cars, and in those days when I was preschool, you didn't have to wear seatbelts. Who can remember that? Didn't have to wear seatbelts, okay? And that was cool because we had these really shiny vinyl seats. You could go from one side of the car to the other, and it was good. But there were these things in the car just behind the passenger window, and they were press-studded to the side of the car. There were these straps there. Who had a car like that? Well, our F.B. Holden had that, our E.H. Holden had that, and there was these straps that would go down the side of the window here, and they were press-studded to there to hang on to, because you didn't have a safety belt, though, did you? So you had to hang on to something. I can remember taxis, too. Taxis had a bar across the back of the seat that you could hang on to. And I want to look at that this morning, because in this verse this morning, it tells us here that we need to hold fast to our profession. Now, if you go and look in your car this morning, I'm sure that probably some of you will find, yeah, there's a handle there somewhere. Who's got a car with a handle? Yeah, it's up there, okay? It's probably for old people to get out of. Is it? To grab onto so you can get out of the car. I know my wife was hanging on to that once, and she was sitting next to us in the Suburban, and she usually doesn't sit way over in the passenger side because we've got a bench seat in front. She was sitting next to me, and we went through this traffic light, and these two motorbike policemen pulled us up out in Kangaroo Flat. And I went, what have I done? And it was because she was hanging on right across to the thing, and hanging on to this handle right across the passenger, and they wondering what she was doing, okay? And then they finally realised that it wasn't really a problem. And after telling me that I needed to move my number plate, they had to find something else to tell me, I suppose, after finding it wasn't really a problem. But she was hanging on. And sometimes we do need to do that. And sometimes even this morning when we're coming in, Benaiah was driving in, we come through Diamond Hill, it's fairly windy there. Who's ever been through that Diamond Hill road? You can through there. I grab Pam's arm and hang on to her so she doesn't go from one side to the other, because she can't reach across in front of me and grab the handle, can she? Okay, she needs to hang on. Who's ever been told that? Hang on, here we go. Hold fast. And that's what I want to have a little bit of a look at this morning. We're told in this passage that we need to hold fast to our profession. Okay, we need to hold fast. There must be something we need to hang on to. Okay, and I want to say this morning that there are places like trams, trains, okay? I've never sort of lived in Melbourne and ridden on trams and trains and had to hang on to straps from the roof or things like that. But I imagine that that's what you need to do in the trams and trains as well. You need to hold fast, okay? And In our life's journey, there are things that we really need to hold fast to. This hold fast, this word here, is one Greek word, and it means this. It means to use your strength to hang on, to seize on to something, to retain, to hang on to it with all your strength, not to let go, not to discard it, hang on, grab to it, hang on to it, to keep it carefully and faithfully. Okay, and that's what I want to have a little bit of a look at this morning, because there's some things in this world that people try to hold fast to, and they are things of this world. And we know that things of this world aren't eternal things. They have a limited time. They have an expiry date. Okay, there's things that we cannot hold fast to in this world. And I mean, that strap in Dad's car, do you think that strap's still there? That probably doesn't exist anymore. Okay. So there are things that we are to hold fast to, and it's to do with, as it we're introduced to here in Hebrews, this person who is our great high priest, who is our eternal saviour, eternal creator. These things that he offers to us are eternal things. Okay? There's no end to these things that he can offer to us, whereas straps, bars, things like that, they're useful for a time, but not on into eternity. It's one thing to hold on to things in this world, but it's more important to hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are four things I want to have a look at this morning, things that are strong, things that are dependable, things that are more sure, things that are everlasting that we can hold on to because they are founded in this great high priest that we find here in verse 14. And it says there, seeing then, we can hold fast because we have this great high priest that we can hold on to. So the first thing I want to look at this morning is holding fast to the name of Christ. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, shall we, in chapter 2. And there's some verses we want to look at here. Revelation chapter 2. And we need to hold fast to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be faithful to him because of who he is. Okay? Chapter 2 and beginning at verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in the days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you wherein Satan dwelleth. Here's the first thing we should hold fast to, and that is the name of Christ. And the church of Pergamos was going through trials and tribulations, and yet the Lord, John here with the Lord speaking through him said, you need to hold fast to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be faithful to him. We need to do that as well, not just that church there at Pergamos, because that's an exhortation to us as well, that we need to hold fast to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't deny him by word or by action, because others see that who you are clinging to and what you are clinging to. And if you're clinging to the things of the world, that's not going to last. But the everlasting Saviour, if you're clinging to him, then that will last. Let every part of your life and all, cling to him with all your strength so that others can see your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold fast to the Eternal One. Hold fast to the one whose name one day, as it tells us in Philippians chapter 2, that wherefore God hath also highly exalted him. Okay, highly exalted means to elevate above everybody else to the highest position. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above, over and above, superior, exceeds everything else, every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So that means everyone in everywhere will one day bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can choose to do that now. We can choose to do that now. And that every tongue should confess. And that word confess basically means to acknowledge and agree joyfully. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we can choose to do that. We need to do it now so that others can see that we hold fast to Jesus Christ. How long should we do this? How long should we do this? And it tells us here in these verses that we read in verse 13, it says here, just like Antipas was a martyr and died, he held on to the name of, till death. We hang on till death. We can hold on to him. If we go down to verse 25, we can also see this in verse 25. He says, but that which is ye have already, hold fast till I come. Here to the church of Thyatira, he says, hold fast till I come. So you either hold fast till you die or hold fast till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. It's an eternal thing. It's not a temporary thing. It goes on. Hold fast to the name of Christ with all your strength until he comes. And we'll have a little bit of a look a little bit in another point about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we can hold fast to him. It's a lifelong thing, day by day, moment by moment. Hold on to the name of Christ and be faithful to him. The second thing, we need to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If we could turn there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we need to hold fast to the assurance of the gospel. The place where it all begins, the foundation of our salvation. This is a sure place. It's a place where we can cling to. Our salvation is so very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we've got the gospel in the nutshell here. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you in verse 1, the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. We need to cling, we need to hold fast, we need to stand on the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, dying, being buried, and risen again. This is a place where we can stand, we can take a stand. It says here, we should stand there. We should stand there. And that stand is a place, that place is a firm foundation for us. It's established. It's something that won't move. The gospel that is outlined here is something that we can cling to for the whole of our lives. It's something that is eternal. That's why it's called eternal life. It's not intermittent life. It's called eternal life. It doesn't depend on what you're doing or what you have done. It's all to do with what Jesus Christ has done. It's eternal life, and that's been given to you for eternity. Christ did it once for all our sin. Christ did it once for us. He saved us, first of all, from the consequences of us being not able to pay for the price of sin, which is death. He did that. In verse 3 it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ paid the price. We can't do anything to pay the price. Christ was the only one that could pay that price. And then in verse 4 it tells us there that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. He gave us life. He gave us new life. That's the gospel. Christ dying, Christ being buried, Christ giving us new life when he rose again. That is a place where we can hold fast. And we can tell others who have this need also that this place is a sure place because that's where we're standing. This place is an eternal place. It's a steadfast place because it comes from the one who is eternal, who is steadfast, because that's his character. He wouldn't offer us something that was any otherwise, would he? Something temporary. He's offered to us eternal life. It's something that we can depend on for eternity and will last into eternity. So we need to hold fast to the gospel. Number three, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Shall we? Hebrews chapter 3. And we need to hold fast the confidence of faith to endure to the end. We need to hold fast in confidence in our faith so that we can endure to the end. Look at chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Here's Jesus Christ, the high priest again. Quite often in the book of Hebrews, he's referred to our high priest, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in his house. For this man was counted worthy of glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honour than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God, those things which were spoken of after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope unto the end. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope unto the end. There's that phrase there. We need to hold fast to our confidence of faith because Christ is building our lives. It talks about a builder here. It says God built everything, and God is building our lives and establishing our lives on that foundation of the gospel, and he's building and has a plan for us, and it's an eternal plan. Moses, it says here, he was a servant. He was a servant, and that word servant has this the idea that he was a servant because he wanted to be a servant. He wasn't a servant because he was made to be a servant. He was a servant and had a desire to do what God wanted him to do. And we're to be like Moses. We're to have that desire to allow God to complete his plan in our lives, to build our lives, to build on that foundation of the gospel and build our lives so we have a foundation and a life that others will see, that we give God the glory to the name of Jesus Christ, and that our lives are being built to a perfect plan. It says there in verse 4 that men build houses, and we've got some builders here, and it takes time to build a house. It takes time to put the thing together. It takes time even to do the planning. It's not an instant thing. Yes, you can get houses moved in, I suppose, but someone's made it in the first place. Houses aren't instant things that just pop up overnight. Someone has had to plan it. Someone has had to put in the hard yakka and build that. And that's what God is doing in our lives. And we need to be patient. We need to allow him to do the building. We need to know the plan, follow the plan, and then he will establish our lives as a building that he builds. So building takes time and a master builder. And we do have a master builder in control of our lives. Okay? And he has started this plan in our lives. And as it says in Philippians 1:6, we need to be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, an excellent, a worthwhile and honourable work in you, will perform it until the day of Christ. when the building is finished. The day of Christ is the day when our building is complete. It's finished. And that might be after you, when you die, or when Jesus comes. Okay? The plan goes on through your life. Hold fast to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the strength that he gives you. Hold fast to the gospel with all your strength. Hold fast to the master plan as the master builder works and develops in you his ideas, his ways. So hold on to that. And then finally this morning, as I said, we need to hold fast to the promise of his coming. He's coming soon. And I said, we're going to hold fast till either we die, we can hold fast to them, or we hold fast to the Lord until the Lord comes. Let's turn back to the book of Revelation in chapter 3, and let's have a look at it some more scripture here in chapter 3. And it says here in chapter 3, verse 11, it says, behold. Okay, here's something important we need to look at. Behold, here's something that we need to give attention to when we see this word behold. It says, look here, here's something important. I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in my temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. We need to hold fast to the promise that Jesus has made here that he is coming. And it says here that he's coming quickly. Now that basically not means yet he's coming soon. It would be good if he came soon. But it basically means this. When it says it comes quickly, it means this. This is a fact. This is something we can depend on. Okay? This is something that is truth. All right? He will come without delay. Nothing will stop him coming. There is nothing that will prevent him from coming to this earth when it's the right time. It's the same when he came the first time. He came at exactly the right time, exactly according to plan. And his second coming will be exactly the same. He will come at the right time. He will come, and that is an absolute, that is a fact, it's a certainty, it's something that we can hold fast to. We can cling to that. We can hold on to that, knowing that he's absolutely coming. He will be here. And there's also a little bit more to this. It also says this, behold, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Not only is he coming in his glory to rule, but he's coming with goodies, rewards, for those who have been faithful, who've allowed God to work their plan in their lives, and he comes for with rewards. And one reward here are crowns. Okay, and technically they were wreaths that were laid on people's heads, the victors' heads, or even some, and even royalty was given these crowns, but they were given these as a reward for everybody to see. It's something that we will cast at Jesus' feet. But it says here, be careful. There's a little bit of a warning here, because we might not get a crown. We might just have wood, hay, and stubble, because we haven't allowed God to be working in our lives and have a life that's pleasing to him and have no reward. And Jesus said that no man take thy crown. Don't give up your reward. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to the things of the Lord. Because that crown is a symbol of honor. It's a symbol of you've won the race. You've got the prize. But so many people, sadly, throw the crowns away, even before they have the opportunity to lay it at Jesus' feet, and all they may have is wood, hay, and stubble. We need to hold fast to the hope that Jesus is coming and that we will receive a crown. But it's not just a crown we could receive, because there's something else here in the next verse that he speaks of also. And it says here, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple. Now that's an interesting thing. It's just not crowns, but there's pillars in the temple as well. There's pillars in the temple. Now these temple pillars in Roman times were customarily given to magistrates and people who of high authority. There were pillars dedicated to people in important buildings. And I wonder if any of us here will have a pillar named after us, it goes on to tell us here, in the city of my God, in the New Jerusalem, in his dwelling place. Will there be a pillar there with our name on it? Not just a crown, but a pillar in honor. In our honor. Jesus said, be careful. You could lose your crown. You might have a pillar. You might lose that as well. So be careful. Be careful. Hold fast to those things that you're striving and earning. Okay? Hold fast to them. Hold fast to them. It's just a little bit like memorial boards in halls. Okay, of people who died in various wars. I wonder if your name will be on a pillar. Hold fast to the things of the Lord. Your name might be there. So let's remember these things this morning. Let's remember that there are some promises that are made. And this promise is this. Number one, here we look at this. Number one, he is coming. He's coming without delay. It's going to be quickly. Nothing will stop him. We can hang on to that promise. Hold fast to that. And then he's coming with those rewards for us. He's coming with rewards. And we're exhorted because it says, behold. In other words, listen, this is important. We're exhorted to hold on to these things. And also to those four things that we've looked at this morning. Hold fast to the name of Christ with all your strength till he comes. Hold fast to the truth of the gospel with all your strength. Hold fast to the confidence and assurance that the Master Builder is completing his plan in your life and fulfilling and maturing you as a Christian. And then hold fast to the promise that Christ will return and reward faithfulness. Hold fast. Now I know there's more hold fasts in here. I only had time really for four this morning. There are more hold fasts, so perhaps you could find some more things to hold fast to. That phrase appears more than once. So let's hold fast to those things in our lives. Let's make sure that we've got that firm foundation. We're allowing the builder to mould us and make us so that we can one day be rewarded when he comes.